You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we're talking about new TV, old TV, the same TV. It's all TV. And whatever else we feel like talking about on Apathetic Enthusiasm. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
I'm Travis.
Everybody, I'm Brandon, and welcome to a show that we'd like to call Apathetic Enthusiasm. You know, Apathetic Enthusiasm, it's come a long way. Back in 1936, a lot of people, they meet in their speakeasies, and there were whispers down in them bootleg times about a movement. They called it a movement. Apathetic Enthusiasm was there, and you know, it was lost to the annals of time for a long time. But we took it. Actually, Travis, I remember we haven't told this story before, but you actually found a piece of paper in your basement. It was old.
It wasn't even paper. It was papyrus.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Oh, shoot. And on that papyrus, but for those who don't know, that's one of the earliest forms of paper, was written on there in tongues. There were like just a bunch of tongues actually, like in like they spelled out letters.
It was drawings of small tongues in the shapes of letters.
Yeah. And it said Apathetic Enthusiasm will be a thing in 2015. And so it went. Anyway.
Yep, that's the origin story. Thanks for listening, everybody.
I don't want to bore anybody with the details. But needless to say, the ancient Egyptians in 1936.
Here we are, almost on our 100th anniversary of the concept. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Podcast where we talk about things. As that episode was starting, I was like, you know, I've already got ideas for what we need to talk about. We need to talk about the new Fallout series. We need to circle back with an update on X-Men 97 because that was probably the most intense episode of animated storytelling I've seen in a very long time. I was so confident about those topics that I made the graphics for this episode in advance of us talking. And then as you were going on that spiel, my thought was, what if we just did a whole episode where Brandon just tells his rambling, nonsensical stories for like an entire hour? And we just leaned into it and like that was the episode. It was like a meme episode. Look forward to that sometime in the future, folks. Bonus episode. That's right. Maybe that'll be next year's April Fool's episode. Anyway, this is Apathetic Enthusiasm. Thank you so much for joining us. You know who we are. If you didn't, you probably wouldn't be listening to this. But if you want to follow us in other places, like the social internet, you can do that on Twitter at Apthusiast. I'm at Jogomino. He's at Barnyard Cruise. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Email us your thoughts, your questions, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Instagram is apathetic_enthusiasm, and our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. Thank you to those of you continuing to subscribe, thumbs up, comment over on youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And a big thanks to the patrons at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm for supporting all of our content. Brandon.
Yes.
That's all of the things that are written down. That's not true. That's not entirely true. But yeah, that's all the stuff that we have to say. So now it's what we want to say.
Well, you know, Travis, this is a tradition that we have here on the show.
How are you doing?
Yep.
I avoided saying it. I was like, oh, I finished that. I'm like, how's your week going, Brandon? It's Monday. How's your week?
Yeah.
Have a good weekend.
That's your tradition. Hey, Brandon, how's it going?
How the heck are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Travis. And that's how I start it. That's how I start to answer the question. And I go, well, okay. So here's a story from Brandon's life. right? And then we go into a little story where I, you know, a little song and dance and like, oh, okay, okay. And then like
some humorous anecdotes.
Eventually I start to feel selfish with the time. I say, well, I mean, what's going on with you, man? How are you doing? And you talk a little
I'm
bit.
I'm just still playing Lorcana all the time. It's all I do.
And then at some point in time, as we're talking about our week so far or our weekend, we transition naturally into whatever the topic is that we want to talk about that week. If yeah, we have something.
Despite how natural that transition is, you always make a point to call out the fact that we're transitioning from our normal topics to yeah. the planned content.
Right. Like I go from our really. Normal, like just rambling to, so Fallout, the series came out, right? but before we get there, I'm doing okay. At work today. Oh, dude. So this morning.
Tell me about your place of business.
This morning I wake up. I wake up at like 5 and I'm like, you know what? It's Monday. I'm actually feeling okay this morning. I'm feeling fresh. I get some coffee, and you know, Sizemore and I, we play board games.
Ticket to a Ride on on a website. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, basically every morning, he just sends me a rail sticker on Messenger. I send him a rail sticker and I said, let's fucking rail. You know, that's what we, that's our cue. That's we're ready to play
that's
a game.
Cute.
Ticket to Ride.
Special.
And so I'm, you know, I drink my coffee and I'm like, you know, I'm gonna take a shower. Okay. So yesterday I put some Drano down the drain and then the shower. Let it sit for 6 to 8 hours. I let the shower run a little bit long, you know, before I got in. And then, okay, cool. It's draining. Great. I get in, shower nicely. I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling good. I do my hair. I got a nice little swirl. Everything is working for Brandon. I'm like, you know what? I don't even need any more coffee. I already had some coffee railing with Matt. I drive to work. Okay, listen to some music. This is going good. You know, okay, there's a truck in front of me on the freeway. They're like, oh, hurry up. You know what? It's fine. I'll just slow down and go back. Things are going smoothly. Okay. And then I pull into the parking lot at work. There's no cars in. There's barely any cars in the parking lot. And our parking spaces are very, very small. As a matter of fact, like one of the engineers a couple months ago, like went outside and was measuring the parking spaces to see how big, how wide they were, because regulations specify that they need to be a certain width. Well, they found one that was not wide enough and they complained to the business like, hey, there's one of these spaces is too small. Anyway,
it sounds like that person needs more things to do at their time.
And it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
You know, I was going to say, was it you? Was it you?
I said, engineer. I'm not, yeah. I'm not that type of smart to be an engineer. And, is that insulting? I don't know if it's, so there's no cars in the parking lot. So I pull in without fear of hitting another car. I pull into the parking lot. Like there's no space. I'm like, yes, yes. I get out of the car. I start to walk in the building. And then as soon as I get into the space, like I badge in, boop, I walk in and all of a sudden like, ow, my head hurts all of a sudden. Like, oh, there's like a little stab in my right temple.
It's like a little rail piercing right into my forehead.
Ow, that kind of hurts, doesn't it? Okay. Well, let's start the day off with a headache. That's fine. And one of our coworkers, they got these potato balls from Porto's, and they're like, hey, come grab some potato ball. Oh, they're really good. They're like they look like not softball size, but like baseball size, and they're filled with like potato. They're fried, but they also got like meat and like salt. Oh, they're really really good. So I'm like, I'm gonna grab some potato balls for breakfast. I didn't eat any breakfast, and I was starting to feel like, ooh, I need to eat some breakfast. Start walking back, and then that sting in my head gets sharper, and then the lights are much brighter than they should be, and I'm like, oh shit! And then there are first aid stations all around this building,
and they're full of potato balls.
They're full of potato balls. I stop at the first one I see. I see the Excedrin migraine medicine, and I grab some, and I pop that shit immediately. I had a migraine the rest of the day, and it sucked. At around like 1 o'clock, and I was bitching. Like I was bitching and moaning to whoever would listen. Even in professional emails, someone was like, "Hey, Brandon, do you know the status of this?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. I have a migraine. It sucks. I complain a lot. Here's the status. Blah blah blah. Also, I have a migraine. It sucks. I don't know if I said that."
Per my last email, I have a migraine.
So around like 2 o'clock, my team comes in. Like, "Hey, can we use the office, you know, for a meeting?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure. And they're talking a little bit. And then I make a joke, and then I say, "Fuck it. No, I can't do this." And I stand up. And I'm like, "Okay, guys, I'm out of here." And I was like, I knock some stuff onto the floor on purpose. And then and my coworker, Abu, was like, "Oh, I'll pick up those scissors." Like, "No, I'll leave them. I'll pick them up in the morning." And then I come home and I go to sleep because my head hurts. And right now, actually, my head is fine on that side, but it's migrated over to the left side. Yeah, migraine.
So you have a migraine while we're podcasting right now?
Yeah, let's do this.
You could have postponed or something.
Couldn't.
Okay.
You were so excited to talk about Fallout and X-Men.
So excited.
How are you doing?
Your personal comfort is of no concern to me. so we can talk about these television shows. These streaming television contents. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm great. Grand. Wonderful. I don't know. I felt nauseous earlier.
Maybe that was the point of it. It wasn't like the pain is not so. I'm gonna bitch more about the migraine for a second. It's not that the pain is like so great, right? It's just like everything is brighter. It's like a little, and not everyone's had a migraine, so like it's hard. It's tough to explain. But like to me, everything is bright. I'm kind of feel disoriented. I don't feel sick at all, which is the weirdest thing. Like I feel very, very healthy. I just feel this nagging like ice pick behind my eye. It's like it's not stabbing so hard. It's just like it's just kind of there, putting pressure on the back of my eye, and I started feeling nauseous too. And I'm like, "Ooh. This is, I want to die." I told everyone I was going to die. And so this morning I told my team in Microsoft Teams, "I'm probably going to die. So I want to leave one last message to all of you about a memory I have of you." And so I went through all of my team and I said, you know, "I remember this about you. I remember this about you. I remember that, you know, you do your checks on Thursday afternoon. So you find, bad things on Thursday afternoon when we all leave for the weekend, and you should probably do it, you know, Monday morning, you know, things like that."
Well, it sounds like a very important day for you.
It was
like to introspective and, you know, actually over the weekend, my work did an open house and families could come and like visit. And check out where their family members work and all this stuff. And I actually have a coworker that used to work with you. And he's kind of like one of my bosses, but he was talking to my wife, Sheena, about you for a period of time, talking about how like influential you are and how much you've impacted his life. And how, like, to this day, he still, like, thinks about you regularly and about how you approach situations and how you do things. And so, like, yeah, just know how important those lasting memories are, Brandon, that your coy, joking little remembrances because you have a migraine. Those might stay with people for a long time. It may affect how they lead within their organizations for decades.
Yeah. No, Travis, I sincerely, I want you to know that I appreciate you telling me this little story. And I appreciate you telling me live on the podcast.
On the podcast.
On the podcast.
That's fine.
I do appreciate that. The thing with being remembered and being influential is, you know, not it's, you know, that's nice. That's nice. It's nice to hear. No one's, very rarely are people going to be like, hey, I remember you all the time. I think about you all the time. You're influential in the way that's, you know,
you're the best.
You don't hear that all the time. And so it's flattering and it's appreciated because you want to know that you're doing something right in the world, in your actions. Yeah. And you don't always get that feedback.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I work with a lot of people. I have a lot of people that I interact with on a regular basis, many of whom I manage or I kind of like tell them what to do.
Yeah.
And so often I'm like, do people hate me? Or do they do they like me? Are they indifferent? Am I just like some random boss? Like, and I've gotten a variety of feedbacks from different folks. Generally positive for the most part. It's weird. And it's especially weird to get those sorts of like feedback or comments directly or in person when someone's just like that thing you just said or that that anecdote that you shared in that meeting. That was really powerful. That really stuck with me. I really appreciate you and your leadership style. I'm like, can I leave, please?
can I run
away right now?
40 minutes ago. Why are you still talking to me about this? No, that's good. That's good though. It's like
I'm assuming no one's ever said anything like that.
Yeah, no one's ever said it. It's I'm gonna use an analogy, which is similar to this whole thing we're talking about is people sharing those things with us is meetings on Zoom or Teams or things like that. When you don't have that like real time feedback, right?
Sure.
You're talking, you're saying things. When you're in a room, you can see people nodding or dozing off or, you know, arms crossed,
straight up asleep. I was leading a meeting and it got to the end. We're like, all right, around the room, anybody have anything? And we get to one dude that's just passed out. And everybody's just like, wow, okay. All right. We'll circle back to that one.
You can see that when you're in a room with people and speaking to folks. When you're on Teams or Zoom or, you know, any kind of video chat, you don't always have that. And yeah. So today, as I have a migraine, I have my team stand up on Mondays. I get around to like, hey, I have a migraine. It sucks. Sorry, everyone. And I'm like, but if you need me, just go ahead and give me a buzz. You know, just stop by the office and just buzz at me.
Bring a potato ball.
Bring me a potato ball. Just, you know, just buzz at me and I will buzz back just like bees. Actually, no, I take that back. That's not how bees communicate. Bees communicate by dancing. The buzz isn't how they talk to each other. It's actually like a dance thing. But I'm not going to ask you to dance for me. I'm just going to say like, just do the buzz. Just do the buzz. No one's reacting. Well, I can't tell anyone's reacting because it's all on Zoom. It's all on Teams. I can't see them. We don't even have cameras on.
You don't know if they're laughing. You don't know if they're picking their nose. You don't know what's happening.
Yeah. So after the meeting, one of my coworkers, Lillian, she sends me a message. She's like, just to let you know, I'm always cracking up whenever you're talking in these meetings. I know you can't tell, but like, I think people think I'm crazy because all I'm doing is laughing. You know, that's nice feedback to have, but I wish I had the real time feedback. And that's
the real time.
That's what I'm saying about you, Travis, is
I get it. Real-time feedback. Mm-hmm.
Bees don't communicate by buzzing. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's important that you should have all your staff members do a little dance when they come visit you in the office.
Dance for me.
Don't let HR know about it.
Dance for me before you turn in your quarterly meeting minutes.
Payroll certificates or whatever it is that you do.
You want to raise? Dance.
Well, listen, all of these things that we're discussing, they're fine. It's just playful banter as we live in a society of rules and laws without a post-apocalyptic wasteland to deal with. But...
Yeah, and you know, this is great. This is a great segue, Travis. I think what you just said.
There's a second there where I thought we were gonna legitimately do the bit where we just ramble on for the whole episode about whatever we want to talk about. But I really do want to talk about this new Fallout series Amazon Prime.
You want to talk about Fallout? Oh shoot!
I want to talk about Fallout a little bit in general, right? So, obviously this show was announced a while back. We'd gotten some trailers. By the looks of it, of everything they'd shown, it looked very promising. I think the fact that Bethesda, the developer of the games, was very much involved in, like, they're part of the production house, right? Like I was hopeful that something good would happen. There's been a lot of game adaptations, movies and television shows based off of video games that don't really stick to, I don't know, like the core, like lore of a video game.
Yeah.
And the thing about Fallout, if you've never played the games before, is there's so much story baked into these games. There's so much storytelling, characters, different things that you could replay these games over and over and have very different experiences, but the world building of Fallout is very consistent. And so I was very excited for those reasons to see this show, which came out last week on all 7 episodes released at the same time over on Amazon Prime. But I was a little worried, right? Because I figured I would come into this series with bias, thinking as a fan of Fallout games, I'm gonna think about it a certain way. I might like it more because I'm already attached to the source material. So I didn't know if this was gonna be a show that I would like watch with my wife. You know, like she's not attached to X-Men. So I watch X-Men 97 on my own, working out Saturday mornings, doing laundry, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I find different times to watch that. But I was like, I really want to try this out with Sheena.
Yeah.
And see what she thinks, the person that has no attachment to the original source material.
And that X-Men 97 episode was so good. Let's talk about that real quick.
We'll get to it. We will get to
it. I'm just
kidding. Jumping the transition.
I'm trying to segue. is that not the right time to segue? I feel you. So Silo came out on Apple TV.
Yeah.
Some time ago. We watched that. We talked about it on this show. And we had said, like, it feels like a Fallout, a little bit of a Fallout TV show, right?
Yeah.
It is based on a novel, so Silo is a little bit different, but it did feel like, oh, like that, it got me kind of excited for the concept of, like, a Fallout TV show.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't remember if I knew that there was going to be a Fallout TV show until, like, earlier this year or maybe late last year that I was like, or no, earlier this year, like, oh, here's a trailer. I was like, oh, there's a TV show for Fallout. That's great. Okay, cool. So I watched it with Chelsea. I watched Silo with Chelsea. And so I was excited to be like, yeah, okay, let's, I'd like to, same thing. Like, I'd like to her to see the show and to get her opinion. And also my 12-year-old, I was like, oh, he knows about the video games. Maybe he'd be interested. And he was not. He was like, I'm going to watch my iPad. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. Go for it. When Pip-Boy shows up, you know, you could see it. We only watched the first episode because the first episode was like an hour and some change long. And it's
close to an hour and a half. Yeah.
It felt very, very, very long and not long in a bad way, but long in a, is this, oh, is this feels like this should be the end of the episode. This feels like it should be the end of the episode. And we just haven't had a chance to watch it again because because we're old people. And it gets to be like 8 o'clock and we're like, you know, I want to watch it, but I'm also really tired.
Yeah.
I'll probably fall asleep. Let's save it. So anyway.
Yeah, that's definitely how it was on Saturday, I think, when we were watching, I think, the fourth or fifth episode. And she was like, can you do one more? And I was like, I don't think either of us can do one more. And sure enough, like, we flipped it to like Saturday Night Live and we're passed out. Like, before the end of Weekend Update, I think we were gone.
I think we watched the first episode on Thursday. And so I have every Friday off. So I think we watched it on Thursday because John, I'm playing John's campaign.
Just rub it in.
Yeah.
Rub it in. He's got to drop that little nugget in every episode.
But he canceled. He canceled on us on this Thursday. So I'm like, oh, you want to watch Fallout?
Probably to watch Fallout.
So we watched that episode. And then, like, do you want to watch another episode? Ah, we can't do it. It's too sleepy. So we went to the bedroom and we effed like rabbits.
It's a family channel.
We filtered like I popped on the TV, turned to HBO, and then I turned it to Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. And then I've got like 10 minutes into it and I fell asleep and enforced Chelsea, who doesn't go to sleep that fast, to watch Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. And she's like, Brandon, why are you making me watch this? Anyway,
good stuff. Good stuff. Anyway, Fallout. That's the topic we're on.
Yeah.
So the first episode, which we've both seen, it is long, but it does, I think, a really good job, much like many of the Fallout games do, in establishing sort of the context for the environment. It establishes the idea of the vaults. With this introductory episode, it kind of establishes a lot of the factions that you would experience in some of the Fallout games, from Vault Dwellers to the Brotherhood of Steel,
to Raiders,
what's the scientific one?
The Enclave,
as well as, you know, characters like ghouls and mm-hmm. things like that. It does a pretty good job of introducing you to all of those things in a way that doesn't feel overly, like force-fed. It does a good job
expository.
Of
introducing.
Yeah. And so I was hooked after the first episode. There's so many nods to the game, whether it's the soundtrack, like songs pulled directly out of the soundtracks from the games, the names of food items, the names of books and comics that you find as you're exploring the wasteland.
Yeah.
So many little just Easter eggs that for somebody that's never watched Fallout, you're not going to pick up on them, and it's totally okay. But for someone that is a diehard fan of the series, it's just additional little nuggets that add to the enjoyment for the viewer. And I thought it was great. And by the end of the first episode, I heard those magic words that let me know that my wife is interested. And that is, do you want to do one more? that's icing on the cake for me. Yeah, exactly.
You're right about all those little details. Within like 5 minutes of the episode, you already see like one of the robot, like the floating robot helpers, doing its thing. Yeah. And it is really good. Chelsea watched it after the first episode. We talked a little bit about it and she was like, so is that what the games are? Like, is that what the game's about? And this is a fun thing to explore, right? Is to say, like, Well, here's the thing about the games. Every game is different. Every game, so these vaults, every different game is like a different area of the US. It's a different vault, and each vault has a different purpose, and that takes them in different stories and takes you on different adventures. She's like, oh, it all takes place in Santa Monica? Like, that was one of the first questions. Like, no, This is a different vault in that world, and this is a different story that they're telling with this different vault, which is really, really cool. And she's like, oh,
that's yeah, that was sort of something that Sheena asked in a similar way, because as we're watching, I'm like, oh, there's that. Oh, there's that thing. And like, oh, they totally nailed this piece, right? And even just like the vault door, the way that it was designed, mm-hmm. the way it opened, mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, it's like exactly like
walking
the game.
Across the ramp, right? Like,
yeah. And so there's a moment where Lucy, who is the main character, main vault dweller character that leaves her vault, she comes in contact with Maximus, who is the main character from sort of the Brotherhood of Steel area. And this may have happened in like a second episode.
Doesn't happen in the first.
But they kind of exchange a glance and Sheena asked me in that moment, she's like, are they like love interests in the game? And I was like, Sheena. Like,
let me
none of these characters exist in the games, like at all. Like all of these things I'm nerding out about being just like the game. It's the environment. It's the lore.
Yeah.
It's the rules. This is not. And this is actually her point. She's like, oh, this isn't like The Last of Us, where that's very story driven as a game, but it has a very particular story with specific characters. And when they make the series, they essentially just retell that video game story.
Yeah. Right.
For television. And it's the thing about the Fallout series that if you're a fan of Fallout games, I feel like you would really enjoy the show, because every Fallout game stays within those contexts of the types of technology and the types of, stuff that's going on, but tells a different aspect of a story from a different location. And this is like doing the exact same thing, except you don't have a controller in your hand. You're just passively watching it. You don't get to make any decisions. You don't get to do any bullet. You don't get to beef up your stats or anything like that.
The series is you watching somebody play the new Fallout on Twitch. That's what
a little bit.
That's
yeah.
What it is.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is the thing is about Fallout is. And why I think this series works to be a Fallout show is Fallout the series is an anthology by itself. It's the stories are self-contained. There's references to other things. Brotherhood of Steel is a thing. Yeah, some lore gets messed up here and there, continuity and all that type of stuff between games is sometimes jacked up. But by and large, the story is here in this universe of Fallout. And that's what the series does well so far, is it's just an additional story within that universe of Fallout. And there are connections, there are Easter eggs, and there are, lore connections. I have seen online talk about continuation and continuity issues. Eventually there's like Fallout New Vegas, some of people's like favorite Fallout game of all time, and they're like, oh, the show messes up the continuity of Fallout New Vegas. How was this supposed to be canon? Granted, I saw it on Twitter, and there's just some horrible people on Twitter sometimes. Like, you stupid. Why you? God, you're such an incel. But
or family channel.
I really do like the show, and I am really excited. I have spoiled myself on what happens in the season, in some of the twists and kind of where they go with some things. And I'm fine with it because I'm still excited to see what happens next. But I do want to point out that they dropped all the episodes, as you said, like seven episodes of the series right away. And that's why I can see the spoilers, is because everyone has already seen all the episodes. And they're
old like us and they're still working through them.
They're talking about them. They're already like, you know, IGN is like, oh, what does this mean? You know, and which I'm fine with. But that's like, I've already seen some of the major changes. But for me, I don't care about that because I'm okay with getting
spoiled. Why I have to avoid social media for another week or two while I attempt to binge watch the rest of the season before my wife leaves town for a few days. And then I will be forced to not watch it without her. A couple other notes just from the additional episodes that I've seen. One aspect of Fallout that always tends to be a thing is it is a generally pretty open world game. And though you have a core storyline or main quest line that you're traveling on, there are a ton of side quests, a ton of other random adventures, random encounters that you have that may have nothing to do with the main storyline, but you're playing, you check it out, you play these other stories. And I feel like they've leaned into that a little bit with this show as well, where they're chasing down the main storyline and then they like call it out. They're like, yeah, this is going to be here, but we got to go do this other random thing. So like, and then there's like a whole episode where they kind of go do something different because, you know, they need other materials or things like that. Yeah. So I think that's cool because like they're embracing every aspect. I mean, obviously there's not like, we haven't seen anybody like adjusting their stats, right? Or like, you know, anything like that. But I still think even down to the story progression and the character progression of Lucy, the vault dweller, who starts out squeaky clean. And by halfway, you know, through the first season, that vault suit is rolled down. She's got like some rusty armor that she's starting to strap on and stuff like that. And you just see that progression.
That's so cool.
That you would see with your character in game as well. And again, if you have not watched the series yet, whether you are a fan of Fallout or not, I highly recommend checking it out because so far I'm really liking it.
Yeah, I dig it. It's already renewed for a second season. Looking forward to that. The actress who plays the Vault Dweller is also, I have to confirm this, so I just want to let everyone know, I don't know this is true, but I think she also does the voice of Jinx in the Arcana show, the League of Legends animated series. Which means that if that's true, she has been in two successful video game adaptations.
Yes, she is the voice of Jinx in Arcane.
Yeah, Arcane. Yeah, in Arcana. Yeah. I was thinking Lorcana. But yeah, good for her. Look at being in two successful video game adaptations.
She's also apparently in the Invincible anime. Oh, she's one episode of Invincible.
Yeah.
Invincible.
Yeah. It's both.
And she's on the show Yellow Jackets, which I heard was good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Chelsea liked Yellow Jackets. The other thing I'll say, two other things about Fallout is the power armor. Look, the iconic power armor. God, that Brotherhood of Steel looks bitchin' as hell. And in the first episode, when Maximus is being interrogated, and you don't even see the full power armor, you just see the power armor, like a portion of it walking behind him, and you hear the goo 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 goo. And at one point in time, Maximus is like, he's not saying something, and then the power armor says answer in a deep booming voice,
kind of like robotic kind of process voice.
I was like, that's so cool.
I'm sitting there on the couch. I'm watching this power armor doing all these cool things. And in my head, I'm just thinking, how much How much filament do you think it would take to print a full to scale power armor? More than I care to think about. More than I could print on my Ender 3. That
it'll,
for sure.
it'll take you a lot of filament and until now in Comic-Con to print all of that stuff out. And paint it and sand it and all that.
I do think about it though, like, because people ask randomly when you're talking about Comic-Cons or things like that, like, oh, if you were to cosplay, like, what would you cosplay? Would you cosplay what kind of character? I feel like a Fallout character is like such a good type of character to cosplay, because you could do a vault suit, but you could totally like destroy it and it would still be accurate, right? Yeah. you could mix and match with all kinds of like weird accessories, armor, rusted armor, stuff like that. You don't have to look like any specific character. Right. You could literally be yourself and still be true to the source material. So I feel like there's so, and then like if you like 3D printed like a cool like Fallout gun or something like that, like and to me, I feel like that's a really accessible way to do, like, if you put the time and effort into it, a really accurate and cool looking cosplay.
I say two things a lot. Two things at WonderCon, there was a General Grievous cosplay. With somebody doing like with like the sticks and like, because Grievous has the backwards legs, and you know, like that looks, that's really, really cool. And then the other thing with Fallout is Fallout cosplay. Yeah, power armor would be so cool to do. But it'll never happen because I don't want to carry all that stuff down there.
Just print it. We just need to print power armor like helmets.
Yeah.
to put on our like shelves,
right? Because like, because in the game you find different pieces of it, yeah. But you don't always have all of them at the same time.
I do have a power armor Funko Pop up here that I've had just for like years, and there is a website that has a really solid file for 3D printed power armor like as like a model.
Oh, uh-huh.
And. Man, we'll see. Maybe I'll cave and try just picking up that, so I got my own little desk-sized power armor or something one day. But yeah, I mean, anything else about Fallout you want to talk about?
So I mentioned a few minutes ago about them releasing all the episodes at the same time.
Yeah.
Seven episodes. And you know, it's great because they're accessible. I can hit them up right away. And it's in a stark contrast to the other show we're going to talk about, which is X-Men 97, which they are doing. They're strictly one episode a week. Here's an episode. Wait till next week. Here's an episode. Wait till next week. We watched the first two episodes of X-Men 97 came out the same day. You could watch, I think, right? I think.
Yep. They did a two episode premiere, and then the other three episodes have all come out weekly.
And so we watched me and the family. We watched the first two episodes, and then the 12-year-old was like, "Ooh, you want to watch another?" I'm like, can't. It's weekly. Next Wednesday, we'll be here. We'll be here to watch the new episode. And so just real quick, before we talk more X-Men 97, I just want to talk about, and we've talked about it on this show before, of course, releasing all episodes at the same time, releasing them separately. What do you think about that? Like about
I think it's interesting. I support the weekly episode release, especially for shows that you know are going to have a pretty large following from the get-go, because, and we've talked about this for 9 years, one of my favorite experiences was the, you know what, 6-season arc of Lost. Loved that show, but what I loved most about that show were the weeks in between episodes, right? Like, the show was great, but discussing and theorizing and coming up with all kinds of different ideas about the show with your friends, that was like, that was exciting. That was fun. And then y'all came together, you know, Wednesday night next week, you watch the next episode, and then the cycle continues and you're talking about it again. And I think for a show like X-Men 97 that has its roots right in the 90s, in that time before streaming, where television was weekly and you would watch a new episode every week and then you talked about it with friends, right? And maybe you, in this day and age, right, it comes out on Wednesday, maybe you don't watch it on Wednesday, you catch it Thursday or Friday, but you have that whole week to kind of catch up on that one episode. Yeah. And you're still in that cultural zeitgeist, right? you're on par with your friends talking about the episode, talking about the same things that are happening. With Fallout, I came to work today on Monday. Hey, have you checked it? Have you taken a look at Fallout yet? Have you watched it? Oh yeah, I watched all 7 episodes. I thought, okay, hold on. I'm only on this one. Oh, the other person that walks in. Well, I've only watched 2 of them so far. So now we're caging our conversation. I know what happens here, but I'm not going to discuss that because I don't want to mess it up for this person. And, you got to keep watching it because when this thing happens, it's like, okay, hold on. So
there's a little bit of synchronization that isn't happening when.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas with X-Men, you were like, dude, this episode hits so hard. And then I get another text from my friend at work and he's like, did you watch it? Like, oh my gosh. And it's not a, did you watch the 4th episode or the 5th episode? Like, it's the episode for the week. And so I think
that night I sent a message to, I'm like, I have my work phone. And so in the work phone on Teams, I send a message to everybody. I'm like, who watched the latest episode of X-Men 97? Please, somebody, don't leave me hanging like this. Somebody has to have watched it, right? So I want to talk about X-Men 97 again. But I feel like that, like, releasing episodes one by one tends to be more impactful than releasing them all at the same time. And I'm like, I'm trying to think of, and of course this is anecdotal, but I'm trying to think of a show or a series that has come out since dropping everything all at once. Let's just drop them all at once. That has like really maintained its resonance with me over time.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the Daredevil show, you know, like those things. I don't know. Maybe I'm being biased right now. Are there any series that have come out like that for you? And you're like, no. This one is the one that I always think of. And all the episodes came out at the same time.
No. Like, I think it's weird because when a show comes out, drops a full season or something like that, it feels sometimes less like a series and more like a really long movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. And so when you have a really impactful ending to an episode, like, I don't know, I Can't Feel You, right? and that resonates with you for seconds before the credits roll. And then it resonates with you for hours afterwards as you're talking about it and sending out texts and desperately pleading with someone to finish the episode so you can discuss it.
Yeah.
And then it's resonating with you for days as you have those water cooler conversations and you bring it up on your, you know, podcast days later. And you're like, and you're still thinking about it before, you know, the next episode comes out 2 days later. And when you have the next episode immediately, that doesn't happen. It's like, oh, wow, huge thing that happened at the end of that episode. Next episode. And you're not marinating in that tragedy, that loss. You're just continuing on with the storyline. And so I think
in lines like that, the I can't feel you, you know, when something is really, really good like that and it's episodic, you can be like this morning before I went to work, somebody sent a message in the chat and was like, remember me or remember my name, right? That's all they said. Remember my name.
Yeah.
And I was like, I responded, I can't feel you. And right now that's part of the zeitgeist. Like that's it has become a thing because
it's a cultural conversation.
We have had time to marinate on that. And all of us are like, holy shit, that episode went hard. All right. So enough philosophizing. Let's talk about X-Men 97, where we were and where we are now. So, Travis.
And I want to caution folks, we're 50 minutes into this episode. If you are not caught up on X-Men 97, we are going to be discussing spoilerific details from the fifth episode. Remember it. So if you have not watched this episode, pause, stop, delete this podcast, whatever you have to do to go and experience this episode. If you are even remotely fond of the X-Men, I encourage you to go check this out. Like it is a phenomenal episode. Mm-hmm. I can't believe like just a couple weeks ago, I was talking about how I wasn't sure I was going to be in on this show.
That's right, yeah.
And now I'm just like, holy, like I have not felt like emotion like that from like animated superheroes in like such a long time. It was amazing. So I don't know. Tell me about your experience watching this episode.
That is your spoiler warning, everybody. Okay. So episode 5, remember it. You know, when X-Men 97 was announced, you like me and X-Men, the animated series, we watched it in the 90s, loved the X-Men. Then the X-Men movie came out and all these types of things. And then finally in the X-Men movies, Sentinels came out in Days of Future Past. And I'm like, yeah, Sentinels, like one of my favorite X-Men villains because they played such a huge role in the X-Men, the animated series. When X-Men 97 came out, you see the Sentinels right at the start there. You're like, yeah, look at that. Oh, they're taking them out. Piece of shit Sentinels, look how easy they are to fight. And then we get to this episode and Cable shows up out of nowhere in like just right after introducing him as a baby in episode 4, and he's like, I'm sorry, mom, and then he disappears into time. Oh shit, like stop the music, stop, and then he disappears, and then like, oh, something bad's gonna happen, something terrible is going to happen. And all of a sudden the Sentinel, like the Beetle Sentinel with three heads, comes out and is just eradicating Genosha. And you talk about emotion, like seeing all of these X-Men, like seeing a bunch of mutants get killed, like actually killed. There's so much to pull from this episode.
I would go even further back because like it for me, this episode didn't start with that moment where it was like intense. Like they're discussing Genosha as, you know, like a member of the UN. It's the big celebration. Yeah. There's political intrigue, like, because
Cyclops gets pissed off at the interviewer, like, oh no. And then him and Real Jean are having some marital issues. Like, oh, you know,
he's psychically connecting with the other Jean. And there's like this whole, like, oh, he's like emotionally cheating on her and all this stuff.
And my 12-year-old's like, oh, this doesn't bode well for Cyclops and Jean. Like, no, yeah, it doesn't seem like it, does it? Right. Yeah. And that's not even halfway into the episode.
And then you have the whole thing with them wanting to make Magneto like the president of Genosha or whatever, like the ruler. And well, you deal with like...
Well, before that, they introduce earlier in the season the whole Rogue and Magneto have a thing going on because Magneto can touch Rogue because of the whole magnetism thing. And then it gets into the United Nations, him being the president of Genosha. And then like he's like, I need somebody from the X-Men to make me look like a good guy. I am a good guy right now, but I need somebody to make me look like a good guy. And then
I need you to be my queen, Rogue.
And then
I need you.
And then Rogue, you know, being like, yeah. And then breaking up with Gambit, essentially. and
then doing that like steamy, floaty flying dance where yeah. they're all like, and like, I'm like, this is an animated show. Like, and this is yeah. some pretty like, and the sensual stuff.
And then the 12-year-old's like, oh, this doesn't bode well for Gambit and Rogue, right?
No, son, it does not.
No, it does not.
But then she flips the script and she's like, you know what? Like, some things are more, what is it? Some things are more than you can touch or something, or touch, you know, or, and it's like she's got a thing for Gambit. Like, she's, yeah. She's not, and
she
so you're at this
Gambit,
like
she's like I want to be with him, like,
and you're like all of my emotions are all over the place, and there's like love and there's betrayal and there's all these things, and then
Nightcrawler shows up. Nightcrawler's there
bamfing all over the place.
When Nightcrawler shows up, I was like, that's my favorite X-Men. And then he's like,
and then 9/11 happened.
No, but before that, like
oh, sorry.
Nightcrawler says, like, talking to Gambit is like, you know, like we measure love by our by forgiveness, right? Like there's no love without sin, because we measure love in our ability to forgive, or something like that. Whatever that line is.
And the writers are killing it on this.
They
show.
Are fucking destroying it. Okay. Then Mutant 9/11 happens.
And it, like, the emotional shift, the sudden chaos, the sudden snap into action to try and save people that they cannot save because they're overpowered at times. The entire sequence, it goes from devastation to devastation between what's going on with Magneto, what's going on with people just getting lasered out into nothingness.
Well, so they, all this, the other, this like this personal drama shit is going on at the same time as they're showing Genosha. They're like, hey, finally, there's a place for mutants to coexist with, you know, like there's a place to call their own. This is so great. And they're playing the Ace of Base 90s song, Happy Nation. And you like, it's like,
which is great, by the way. It's perfect.
There's mutant culture going on. Everyone's happy and thrilled. Like, it's so great. You see the Morlocks are getting along. You see, some of the, I forget, but it's like, Emma Frost and the people from like, X-Men First Class. I forget the name of it, of that society, but like some of them are there. Bunch of representatives, mutant kind, they're all there. They're united. This is great. Everything is happy. And then Cable shows up, as I said, stop the music. Shit's about to hit the fan. And sure enough, it does. And all hell breaks loose, and it completely undercuts every happy thought we had in this episode to that point in time. Even the personal drama stuff, it undercuts all of that. It's like none of that shit matters anymore because there's a gigantic beetle sentinel.
It doesn't matter in the moment, but also it underlines everything else that happens, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have this sort of love triangle between Magneto and Rogue and Gambit, who then put all of that aside to get to action and try to help people. But then as one by one, they're all meeting different fates. It the effect of the that loss is compounded by all of that emotional trauma that you experienced for the first 20 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's so again, spoiler territory. Here, let's explore this triangle. this death triangle. Magneto, who is like in love with Rogue, he's like, I want her. Like, I want her to be with me. Like, don't be with Gambit. And he's treating Gambit like shit the first 15 minutes of the episode. He's like, whatever, you know, fuck off, basically. Right before Magneto goes away, he is protecting Rogue and Gambit from dying and be like, stay over there. Don't die. He's like, this is fine. This is my fate. By the way, him saying in German, like, don't fear or whatever it says, like, the leech. I'm like, after leech earlier was like, Magneto promised that nothing bad would happen to me.
Yeah, we won't have to be afraid anymore.
Yeah. Oh, leech, oh no. Okay, so then Gambit, as Rogue gets pissed off because there goes Magneto. Oh, she freaks out. She's going to. And then he's like, he loves her so much. He's like, nah, ain't gonna happen. Let me charge up this bike, knock you out. And I'm gonna take the Sentinels on. Like, fuck, man. Fuck. I wanna watch the episode again.
It's
crush me.
I went back and rewatched the last, I don't know, 10-ish minutes of it just to kind of get the emotions fresh right before we recorded, because it has been a few days since I watched it, but it's intense. The fact that we're what, 5 episodes into this reboot of the series, they're reintroducing characters, flipping the script where, like, Magneto's in charge of the X-Men in the first episode, and 3 episodes later, he's dead, right? Like, yeah. Like, and then establishing this whole emotional love triangle with Gambit and Rogue, and then Gambit's gone. Like, so, like, all of these things that they're doing, it's got to be leading towards something. It's got to be leading towards, I think there's an overall story that they're trying to tell with this. Like, these certainly are not throwaway characters when they're, you know, sort of like foundational characters out of the X-Men canon. So I don't think they would throw those characters away without some sort of cause. Like even Storm's kind of been taken out of the fight since the second episode of the season.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Something's happening, something's going on, but it is really interesting to see that they're not pulling punches, that they're not afraid to really go after some of these characters, and it increases the stakes, I think, of the show. And yeah, it just makes me really excited to tune in every week and see what's going to happen next.
A couple things. So, one is the episodic nature of this one. They introduced Rogue and Magneto do they have something going on? And like, I know enough about the comics, but I'm not so ingrained where I know all the history of all the characters.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what was going on with Rogue and Magneto. But for someone who's watching that, they're like, oh, is something going on? That's like episode 2, right? Okay. And then in episode 3, you start to see like, oh, where were they? They weren't in the danger room. They were going to do, they were doing something else, right? Oh, there's another seed. And then it pays off in the 5th episode. Like, if you were watching that week, if it was just all dropped at the same time, like, it may not have been as impactful because you weren't able to stew on it long enough to be like, what is going on with Rogue and Magneto? Yeah. The second thing is, as far as stakes, what the original series, like Morph gets killed, well, gets killed right away, right? So like it sets up some of those stakes very early on, but then I don't remember there being as many stakes later in the episodes. I think they, you know, then Morph comes back, he's with Mr. Sinister and all that type of stuff. So I think they had some of that stuff early on, but I'm glad that X-Men 97 is being like, no, this is real. This is part of the Marvel universe, the MCU. Which, by the way, Easter egg, oh, the old Watcher sitting there watching the events of Genosha.
Are we gonna have a what if crossover or something?
Yeah. I mean, this must be a major event if the Watcher is there to see what's going on.
That's well said. Well said. Overall, this, I mean, phenomenal animated television. Just it's arguably some of the best Marvel content available right now. Mm-hmm. And if you're sleeping on it, one, if you listen to all of this and you haven't been watching it, shame on you. We told you to go watch it. But to all of you that are still here, hit us up after the next episode. Leave comments on this video, hit us up on Twitter or wherever, any of those social media stuff that we called out at the beginning. We want to know what you think. What are your thoughts? Is there anything you disagree with? Is there anything you think we're just too excited about? But love to hear your thoughts. If you're new here, of course, if you're a podcast listener, rate, review, do all those things. It definitely helps others to find the episode. We definitely appreciate that. YouTubers, you know all the things, like, subscribe, leave a comment. And that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for continuing to follow this podcast. Until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. A goodbye to you all.
Bang.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.